in this week's parsha, we have at the very end one of the many, many mitzvahs that we have that remind us about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But it's not just a number of mitzvahs. The Ramban counts 19 mitzvahs. There are 19 separate mitzvahs that repeatedly remind us of the fact that Hashem took us out of Egypt. And if you think about it, it's mezuzah, it's shema, it's tefillin, it's tzitzit. There are so many mitzvahs besides Pesach and besides the Yom Tovim, which all have a significance. There are 19 discrete mitzvahs that remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Ramban explains why this is. The Ramban explains that Hashem is not in the miracle business. Hashem is not the showman who's going to go on stage every night. One time in the course of history, Hashem said, I'm going to show that I am the creator, maintainer, and orchestrator of all of physicality. And that was Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Ten Makos, the splitting of the Yam Suf, all of it showed Hashem's control over the world, over physicality. And then Ramban says something very fundamental. He says that once you understand and recognize these great miracles, from the well-publicized and well-known miracles, a man will come to recognize the hidden miracles, Shem Yesoda Torah Kula, which is the Yesod, the foundation of the entire Torah. And now listen to these words. She'ein la'odam chelik b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. A person does not have a portion in Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, ad shenamin, until he believes b'chol dvarenu mikrenu, all of our events, everything that befalls me, kulam nisim, they're all miracles, ein bem teva u'min hago shalolam. There's no nature, no happenstance. Everything that occurs to us is miraculous. And not just that, a person doesn't have a chelik, doesn't have a portion in Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah unless he recognizes that yesod. And that sounds like a rather interesting concept. But I'd like to explain to you how fundamental that is. And the Sefer HaChinuch counts a mitzvah called Emuna. But he says, where do we get the mitzvah Emuna? Because the Torah says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hashem said in Aseres Dibros, I am Hashem your God, Asher Sesichem Eretz Yisrael, who took you out of Mitzrayim. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, from there you'll see that we have to understand and recognize that Hashem, who created everything, orchestrates everything, maintains everything, and does everything under the sun. As the Rambam says, everything that happened, everything that will happen, everything is directed by Hashem. The problem is, how do we see that from Yetzias Mitzrayim? Meaning, I do see that Hashem is involved in the big picture issues. I do see that Hashem took the Jewish nation out of Mitzrayim. But how do we see from there that everything that befalls me, everything that occurs to me in my life is miraculous, is a miracle? How do we see that? As a matter of fact, I had a conversation one Erev Rosh Hashanah with a fellow, and he said he's, you know, thinking about davening Rosh Hashanah, it's a serious davening. I said, yeah, a lot of things to daven about. There's Shalom Bayis, Parnassa, a lot of things. He said, no. Parnassa, listen, I ask Hashem for the big things, health and life. Parnassa, earning a living, I take care of that myself. Now, he was an Orthodox Jew, and he really meant it. But here's the point. How do we see from Yetzias Mitzrayim that that's not true? The Ramban is saying that when you see, focus on the miracles that Hashem did in Mitzrayim, you'll see that everything that we do, everything that happens in our life is miraculous. Sefer HaChinuch says more than that. He says, once you focus on that, you'll see everything in your existence is Hashem's involvement. The problem is, how do we see that? All we see is that one time in history, Hashem took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Maybe Hashem is involved in the global picture, in the big deal issues of life. But how do we see from that that Hashem is intimately involved in the running of my life to the extent that every single event that befalls me, everything that happens, is Hashem's intervention? The question is, how does one follow the other? And to understand what I believe the answer to this question is, let's focus on some fundamentals. In a number of shmuzim, and certainly in the Bitachon workshop, I explained that there are four levels to basic emunah. The first level of emunah is knowing that Hashem created the world, knowing that there was nothing, Hashem said vayhi, and everything that is, everything that exists, was brought into existence by Hashem. That's the first level of emunah, knowing that Hashem is the creator of the world. The second level of emunah is knowing that Hashem is involved in the big picture issues of life, the global issues, which countries go to war, which countries suffer famine, which president will be elected, honestly or not, the various situations that befall mankind, whichever new diseases are going to suddenly show up, whichever new cures or vaccines will suddenly appear on the marketplace, the global picture that Hashem runs the world from 35,000 feet, orchestrating the big picture issues. That's the second level of Emunah. The third level of Emunah is knowing that Hashem knows my thoughts as I'm thinking them. That when I'm davening Shemona Esrei, I don't have to speak out my words for Hashem to hear them. The last pasuk we say at the end of Shemona Esrei, Yiyu l'rotzon imrei fi. Let it be the words of my mouth, let them find favor in your eyes. V'hegyon libi, and the thoughts of my heart. Because I need not speak out my words for Hashem to hear them. Hashem peers into the essence of me. Hashem knows exactly what I'm thinking as I'm thinking. I daven, I speak out for the effect, for the impact. But Hashem knows my thoughts, and that's a third level of Emunah. And Hashem knows exactly what's going on inside us, in our minds. The fourth level of Emunah is knowing that Hashem is intimately involved in the running of my life, the day-to-day stuff, that when I put my head down on the pillow, when I open my eyes in the morning, when I get behind the wheel of my car, Hashem is there guiding, protecting me throughout the day. Now, if you have these four levels of Emunah clearly embraced, you can walk into the front row of Gan Eden. And if you go no further than this, and just simply understand that Hashem is involved in your life, that alone will bring you to a very high madrega. And I'll explain to you what I mean. The Chovos of Avos explains, one of the basic bedrocks of our Emunah system is knowing that no human being can harm me, no human being can help me. Meaning to say, as I walk down the street, there's a lucite bubble that protects me. You can throw stones, you can scheme, you can dream. If I'm not to suffer that pain, you cannot harm me. No human being can change my destiny. No human being can cause me pain that I'm not supposed to get. And the corollary, as no human being can harm me, so too no human being can help me. You could be the richest fellow in North America. If I'm not supposed to get that money, you'll give me the money. It'll go in one pocket, go out the other. My uncle could be the head of Sloan Kettering, but if my time is up, it's up. As no human being can harm me, no human being can help me, my destiny, exactly what befalls me, is completely in the Yad Hashem. And that is, says the Chovos of Avos, the basic bedrock of our Emunah, of our Bitachon system, knowing that Hashem runs my life, Hashem protects me, and no one can harm me, no one can help me. Now again, if you had these four levels down pat, and stopped there, you can walk into the front row of Gan Eden and you'll be fine. But what I'd like to do now is explore a little bit deeper to see if we can get into the fifth level and the sixth level of Emunah. Because even though we live in the first four levels, and even though that's really where life is at, and sometimes it's worthwhile to sort of take a step deeper and understand what's really going on. And let me begin with the following observation. Let's imagine the following. Imagine you're driving, and you're heading up the Palisades, and you're looking out, it's beautiful. On your right side is the Hudson River, and as you're heading up past Bear Mountain, you see the incredible outlook, overlook. You see miles and miles down the Hudson, and you, as you're climbing higher and higher, the roads get windy, and you want to stop to look, but you can't. I'm in a rush. You keep driving and driving, and as you get to a certain point, there's a sort of a hairpin turn, and you see it, an 18-wheeler, his brakes failed, and he's coming right at you. Oh, no! You veer off the highway. You find yourself on the embankment, and you're rolling down. Your car is rolling down. Hashem, help, 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 help! And somehow the car stops. It stops dead. You get out of the car, and you look down, and you see 1,200 feet of rocky cliffs right down to the Hudson, and my car was stopped 1 foot before the drop. Wow! Chazdei Hashem, it's miracles, it's miraculous. You make a sudos adah, you bench komo. Okay, here's my question. How did Hashem get there? How did Hashem know that you're in trouble, and how did Hashem suddenly appear on the scene right when you were in trouble? I mean, Hashem is up there 13 billion light years up there. How did Hashem get there so quick, right away, to stop the car? So if you'd like to understand the answer to this question, it's really a Targum Yonasan. The pasuk says, Vayera elav Hashem be'elonei mamrei. Hashem appeared to Avraham, but explains the Targum Onkelos, it doesn't mean Hashem appeared. It doesn't mean Hashem wasn't there and, aha, Hashem is here. And there is Galilei Hashem. Hashem revealed himself. Hashem was present. Avram was not yet on the level to recognize Hashem's presence. There is Gali, Hashem revealed himself. Hashem is called Makom. One of the names that we refer to Hashem with is Makom. Why? Because Hashem is the place of everything. Wherever you see existence, wherever you see physicality, wherever you see anything, Hashem is there because Hashem is the creator and one who maintains it all. And whenever you read in Chumash that Vayera, Hashem appeared, it doesn't mean Hashem appeared, is Gali Hashem revealed himself. And if you'd like to know how Hashem suddenly appeared on the scene right at the moment to save you, the answer is Hashem didn't suddenly appear. Hashem was there 24/7, 365, always, because if Hashem wasn't there, it, you, and everything else wouldn't be there. Because Hashem is the creator, maintainer of everything in creation. Hashem is everywhere at all times. And this is the fifth concept of Emunah. Shisi Hashem Lenegdi Tzamid, wherever I am, Hashem is there. But more than that, wherever anything is, Hashem is there. If I take my telescope and I see a constellation, Hashem is there, because if Hashem wasn't there, it wouldn't exist. And this concept is very, very basic and very fundamental, but is a bit lofty, because if we ever really got this concept, it would be radically and totally life-changing that Hashem is present. Hashem is here. As I go through my day, Hashem is here all day, every day. If a person ever really, really got a hold of that concept and really lived it, I guarantee life would be radically different. Lashon Hara, forget about it. Jealousy, forget about it. Anger, Hashem is like, I ran in front of the creator of the heavens and earth, dominating. And dominating would be the most emotional experience imaginable. I'd be talking to Hashem right here. The problem is we're caught in the haze of physicality. The heavy body blocks me, it cloaks me. Is Hashem here? I don't know. I can't see, I can't feel. This understanding that Hashem is the makom, Hashem is the place, that Hashem is everywhere, including right here at every given time, is a very lofty concept and is the fifth level of Emunah. But there's a much deeper level that I think requires understanding. And let's sort of begin with the following. What did it look like before Maisa Bereishis? I mentioned this before, but I had a conversation with my daughter when she was 6 years old and she was learning about creation in school. And she came home and she asked me, Abba, I get it. And before Hashem created the world, there were no trees, there were no rivers, but what color was it? Now the question that she asked was actually fundamental. Why? Because if you imagine the moment before creation, if you close your eyes, imagine that moment before Hashem said, Vayihi, and what do you see? You see black. But you see black is a color. Before Hashem created anything, there was nothing. Absence of physicality. And now we come to one of those concepts that are well, well beyond human understanding. And that is that creation is physically impossible. It is physically impossible to create from nothing something. Let me explain what I mean. If I have sand, I can bake that sand into bricks. If I have molecules, I can make those molecules into sand. If I have atoms, I can make those atoms. And if I have quarks, I could make molecules, atoms, I could build from it. But before Hashem created the world, there was nothing. Absent of physicality. From nothing, you cannot build something. There's nothing there. There's nothing to mold, to shape. There's nothing there. And to our human understanding, creation is impossible. And it is true. From a physical perspective, creation cannot be. Now, I know what happened because I'm here. And if you'd like to understand Maisa Bereishis, if you'd like to understand creation, I have a mushal that I believe is very, very fundamental. Imagine it's a cold February night, and I'm standing waiting for the bus, shivering. And I close my eyes. I close my eyes, and I imagine a beautiful beach scene, white sand, ocean blue, cloudless sky, and one lone seagull gently wafts across the sky. The bus comes, splash! Gone is the sand, Gone is the ocean blue, gone is the seagull. I am the dreamer. As long as I think about the dream, as long as I imagine it, it exists. The minute I cease thinking about it, gone is the seagull, gone is the sand, gone is the ocean blue. That is Hashem's relationship to anything in existence. A yesh me'ayin, from nothing something creation, requires not just molding things that are in existence already, it requires taking, creating, and maintaining it at every given moment. And at any given moment in time, if Hashem wouldn't infuse energy into whatever that object or thing is, it would cease to exist. Because Hashem is not just the creator, Hashem is the creator and maintainer, one who keeps in existence everything, because much like I to the dream, Hashem is the energy source, Baal HaKochus Kulam, the source of all infusion of energy in everything in creation. And that understanding changes your understanding of life. What is Teva? What we call nature is an organized, systematic, predictable method that Hashem runs the world in. But if you see an acorn that in the ground begins splitting, that means Hashem is there, Hashem is guiding it, Hashem is keeping it. Hashem is keeping everything in existence at every moment. And it means crops that grow don't just grow because of nature. Crops that grow, grow because Hashem keeps them and is mishava them, and keeps them doing what they're supposed to. Everything in existence being kept in existence by Hashem. Now, we're ready for a very, very important question. If you think about this concept and really dwell into it, you'll quickly realize that free will is impossible. Free will makes no sense. Now, let me explain why. Let's go back to my dream for a minute. Imagine I'm standing at the bus stop, and I close my eyes, and there is that beautiful beach scene, and there's a seagull. And the seagull is flying east. And suddenly the seagull says, I want to fly the other way. And he turns around and goes west. I say, no, I want you to fly east. He says, no, I want to go west. No, east, west. Now, that can't happen. Why? Because I am the dreamer. Nothing exists outside of me. Nothing has a will outside of me. Nothing could do something that I don't want it to do because I am keeping it. I am the mishave. And if you think about it, free will is a very, very difficult concept to understand. Nevertheless, because Hashem wants there to be reward and punishment, Hashem wants us to earn our keep, and wants us to have the opportunity to earn our portion in the world to come, Hashem gave us the ability to do what we want within limitations, but to make the choices. And what that means in plain language is that in the dream, I say, let's go east, and the bird has its own will and says, go west. And I don't want you to go that way. Don't go. But he says he wants to go that way. And I'm going to take him that way. He cannot exist if I don't keep him in existence. So when I told him to go east and he says, no, I want to go west, not only do I give him the opportunity, the ability to choose, but I support him in the entire procedure because he cannot fly. He can't exist without me. His wings and his body only exist as long as I keep them. So not only did Hashem give us the ability to choose, Hashem supports us throughout those choices, whether they are in agreement to what Hashem wants us to do or not. And that is the concept of free will. And I believe when you dwell upon this, you could also understand the audacity of a sin. Do you understand what it means? Hashem wrote a Torah. Every mitzvah is our benefit. Everything there is for one reason. It helps me grow. Helps me become what I'll be. It helps me in the world to come, and it helps me in this world. A person who lives the Torah as we're supposed to is happy, fulfilled, has a beautiful life here, and more importantly, is earning his world to come. He's accomplishing, he's growing. Every mitzvah helps me, every avera damages me. And Hashem gave me the choice and gives me the ability to choose. And when Hashem said, go this way, I say, I'm going the other way. And even though I know that Hashem is keeping me, and even though I know Hashem gave me the free will, Hashem is keeping me and supports me and brings me the other way and brings me exactly opposite of what He wants me to do. The audacity of it is beyond description. We don't understand things. We're spaced out. And we think it's our volition, our choice. First of all, Hashem's not really here. Hashem doesn't see. But if we understood that my existence, the fact that I'm in existence, the fact that anything in his existence is only because Hashem keeps it there, we'd recognize a very, very different relationship between us and Hashem, and certainly between us and free will. But there's one more step. A number of years ago, I was a Rebbe in Yeshiva, and a fellow during Bein HaZmanim was working at his home. He climbed the ladder, and he was fixing something. And from 15 feet up, he fell. They called the ambulance, they took him to the hospital, x-rays, etc. And the doctor said to him, "Son, one more millimeter, 1 millimeter further, your spine would have been severed, the spinal cord would have been severed, you've been paralyzed for life. You are very fortunate that you fell exactly the way you fell, and not a tiny little bit more, because had you fallen even a little bit differently, you'd be paralyzed for life." Now, needless to say, the fellow made a suda sada, and he's forever grateful to Hashem for what he did, for the fact that he was saved. Okay, now, here's the point. Here's a fellow who weighs, let's say, 150 pounds, and he's up on a ladder, and he falls 15 feet. How does Hashem have the control to make sure that it cracks? It's going to crack, the bone's going to break, but only this way, no further than that, and it's going to stop, but close to the spinal cord, but not too close. How does Hashem have that kind of control? And if you'd like to understand the answer to this question, I want you to imagine the following. Let's come back to my dream for a moment, and imagine I say to the seagull, "Mr. Seagull, listen to me very carefully. I want you to fly east, but I want to tell you why. I want you to fly east because it's good for you. But not just it's good for you. If you fly west, I'm warning you, there are falcons, birds of prey. They will eat you. Do not go that way, because if you go that way, that falcon will destroy you. There are many of them. They're hunters. They're hungry. Go east." I warn the seagull. I tell him. And as the seagull is flying east, he says, I'm going west. Now, the deal is, I not only allow him to choose, but I got to support him. I support him. He goes, and he's about a mile down when he sees three falcons. The falcons start charging right at him, zooming, and he says, oh no, save me, Mr. Dream Master, save me, oh no. And he realizes, I can't save him, he's toast, because I control him, but the falcon, the powerful falcon. Little does he realize that as I control his existence, I control the falcon as well, because I am the dreamer, and the only thing that exists in my dream are things that I think about and that I give life to. And therefore, if I decide that in fact the falcon will eat him, the falcon will consume him totally. If I decide the falcon is going to miss by a fraction of a hair, exactly that's going to happen. He's going to feel the whoosh of the wings. He's going to feel the breeze, but the falcon's going to miss, because I control the seagull, I control the falcon, I control everything, because I am the dreamer. And that is Hashem's relationship to everything in existence. If you'd like to understand that yeshiva fellow on the ladder, all you have to do is slow it down a little bit. For whatever which reason, Hashem decided that it was proper and appropriate for this fellow to fall. Why? That's beyond our discussion now, and probably beyond our understanding. But this fellow was supposed to go through it. And let's slow it down. Imagine Hashem is there, and Hashem says, this is supposed to happen. Okay, fall slow, good. Lean the shoulder over a little bit, good. I need to fall right, the right way. Okay, a little bit more. Okay, ground, hold strong. Okay, good. Come down slow, good. I need you to bang right there. Good, bang, good, nice, good. Roll over. Good, perfect stone that's there. I need you to hold the spot. Good. Every single motion, everything that occurs, everything in existence is kept in existence, maintained by Hashem, controlled by Hashem. There is no happenstance, because nothing exists outside of Hashem, and nothing can do anything outside of Hashem's will. And once you understand that, you begin to understand life on a very, very different level. Now, you may say to me, these are wonderful concepts, but not in our life. Maybe the Ramchal, the Rashba, I don't know, maybe Tanoim, but this isn't us. My friends, would you like to know what every Mitzri saw in Mitzrayim? Let's take the mock of Dam. What is Dam? Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro and says, exactly as I'm telling you, all of the water will turn to blood. That means all of the water in the Nile, miles and miles. But not just the water in the Nile, in the Nile, any water that Egyptians gathered. If an Egyptian bites into a fruit, instead of fruit juice, he's going to spit out blood. Kahava, exactly at the time, all of the water turns into blood. But blood is thick. Water is colorless, odorless, and rather viscous. Doesn't have much thickness to it. Blood is globulous, thick, and it smells. The Sforno points out that Kol Adaga Mesa, all of the fish in the Nile died. Why? Because fish exist through gills. And the gills, they separate the oxygen from the water, and that's how they live. But blood is thick, and they couldn't separate the oxygen. All the fish died because the water didn't turn red color, and the water turned into blood. But let's understand what the Medrash tells us. The Medrash tells us that every Mitzri could only drink water if they bought it from a Jew. And what that means is, if they paid money to the Jew, that cup of blood turned into water. If they didn't pay money, it remained blood. Now I want you to imagine with me for a moment the following. Imagine we have Muhammad. Muhammad is an Egyptian slave master, and he's got his slave Yitzhak in the field, and there's Yitzhak drinking a nice cup of water. Muhammad goes up to him, "Now, Yitzhak, give me that cup." And Yitzhak takes that cup of water, hands it to Muhammad, and as Muhammad touches it, it turns to blood. "Take that back!" He gives it back to Yitzhak, and as he passes it back, it turns from blood to water. "Now give it back to me!" And as he gets it back, it turns from water to blood. Water to blood, blood to water. "Come here, come here. Hold the cup, Yitzhak. Hold the cup. Now we're going to drink together. You put your lips to the cup, I put my lips, we're going to drink together. No tricks, or I'm going to whip you. 1, 2, 3. And as Yitzhak drank water, the Mitzri drank blood. Would you like to know what every human being who lived then saw? That water is water, not because it just exists. Water is clear, odorless, and colorless because Hashem said this is how it should be, and Hashem maintains it. And the minute that Hashem decides it should be different, Hashem turns it into a totally, radically different entity. Because everything in existence only exists because Hashem keeps it there. And as the water turned to blood, blood to water, water to blood, what the Mitzri saw was, number one, Hashem is right here. Hashem is watching. Hashem is keeping score. If I paid money, it's blood. It's water. If I didn't pay money, it's blood. Hashem is watching. Hashem is here. And Hashem is controlling nature. But not just from afar. Right here. And what that means is that Hashem is keeping every aspect of physicality in existence. Water is water because Hashem keeps it. Rocks are rocks because Hashem keeps it. And throughout 10 months, what every Mitzri saw, what every Jew saw, is Hashem is the creator, the maintainer, and orchestrator of everything under existence. And I believe that's the answer to the Ramban. And why is Yetzias Mitzrayim so central? Because it was the one time in history when Hashem showed himself to be the master of creation. But not just the master from the big picture, not from 35,000 feet, the one who maintains all of creation. Look at the blood, look at the water, look at Tzvardeya, look at the various makas, and watch Kriyas Yamsuf. The water splits exactly in the right way, exactly the right time, because Hashem keeps everything in existence. Hashem controls everything. And explains the Sefer Chinuch, the mitzvah of Muna is to know that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And when we know that, we'll know there's no happenstance. There are no random occurrences. Everything controlled, everything orchestrated, guided by Hashem. And that is the fifth and the sixth level of Muna. If we don't get it, we don't understand it, it's fine as long as we remember that everything is guided by Hashem. You see, knowing that Hashem is the creator is something that's fundamental. Knowing that Hashem runs the big picture issues of life is also fundamental. And knowing that Hashem knows my thoughts as I'm thinking them, the third level of Muna is also. But the real action is in the fourth level, knowing that Hashem is intimately involved in the running of my life. But the way we know that, the way we understand that, says Ramban, is look at the Nisim. Look at the miracles of Mitzrayim. And when you look at them, you'll see Hashem was there. Controlling, orchestrating, running, keeping everything in existence, and you'll recognize that Hashem is the one who guides everything. There is no happenstance. Everything is under direct control of Hashem. If you want to understand how it is, the fifth level and the fifth, sixth level, the understanding. The fifth level is knowing that anything that exists, Hashem is there, because Hashem is the Mishava, the one who keeps in existence. And the sixth level is knowing that as nothing can exist, nothing can occur, because much like I to the dream, I am the dreamer, Hashem is the one who keeps everything in existence. In my dream, the seagull can't go left if I want it to go right. It's a little different in our world. Hashem gave us free will. But that means Hashem gave us some limited choices to make. But any time that I make a choice, Hashem is there, holding me, supporting me. And as Hashem holds me and supports me, so too the falcon. And so too everything else in creation. And everything carefully calibrated, carefully orchestrated, under total control of Hashem. Something that's miles and miles beyond any human being's understanding, but something that everyone saw palpably in Mitzrayim. And again, that is why this is so fundamental, and this is so basic, because the emunah that we live is in the fourth level, knowing that Hashem is involved in my life, knowing that no one can hurt me, no one can help me. But if you really want to fundamentally understand that it's the fifth and the sixth level, when you focus on the Nisim, when you see the miracles, you understand Hashem's involvement, Hashem's control, Hashem keeping everything in existence. And I just want to close with a story that I've told before, but there's a little bit of an update to the story, and I therefore want to tell it again. If you've heard the story, here's the update. It was quite a number of years ago, and I was, as a high school Rebbe, I would read regularly. I felt it was a big part of my job to stay up on issues of the world. My kids used to make fun. Amazon delivers twice a day to your house. Oh, anyway, as it turns out, I read that Amazon was going public. And I said to my wife, you know, listen, this company, on time, every time, exactly as promised, it sounds like a no-brainer. And the IPO was coming out shortly. I said to my wife, I think I want to, you know, I think we should take $2,000 and invest. My wife said, okay, you think it's a good idea? Fine. Okay. Now, we were young and money was, you know, serious issue. $2,000 was a substantial amount of money, but we agreed, and that was what we're going to do. Okay, the next day I was going to buy the IPO, and my wife opens up Newsweek magazine and reads an article about this new company called Amazon. Jeff Bezos has $1 million in personal credit card debt. He's asking $15 a share. There's no model for it. It's unproven. It's on and on. They were ragging against this company. My wife brings me the article, and she says, what do you want to do? I said, you tell me, what do you... She said, I don't know, it's a lot of money, I'm a little uncomfortable. So in fact, we didn't. Okay, we did not invest in Amazon. Okay, let's say I had taken my $2,000 and held it till today. My $2,000 today would be worth $4.3 million. Aw, shucks. Aw, shucks is a lack of understanding. Because aw shucks implies I made a mistake. Had I done differently, the result would have been differently. But don't you understand? Hashem runs the world. As Hashem determines how much money I am to make, Hashem determines how much money I am to make. And that means if the previous Rosh Hashanah, it was decreed that I'll make a fortune of money, that's exactly what will happen. But if not, there'll be many, many ways that Hashem will bring it about. Then my wife happened to read Newsweek the night before. She never reads business section. The night before I'm going to... And in fact, Business Week had a totally different take on it. The fact that she read it and brought it... That's Hashem orchestrating the world. And knowing that the vast majority of Hashem's involvement in our life is in our mind. You see, again, the first level of Emunah is knowing that Hashem created the world. That's Shabbos. Zeich l'maaseh b'reishis. Remembering, looking at the world and saying, wow, Hashem created it. And second level of Emunah is knowing that Hashem runs the big picture issues, countries at war, famine, disease, global issues. The third level of moon is knowing that Hashem knows my thoughts. And while the fourth level of moon is where really things happen, that's knowing that Hashem is intimately involved in my life, the vast majority of Hashem's involvement is on level three. When Hashem puts thoughts into people's heads, thoughts into other people's heads so they say things to me or don't say things to me, thoughts in my head or not, that's the vast majority. We live in level 1, 2, 3, and 4, mostly in 3 and 4, knowing that Hashem knows my thoughts, knowing that Hashem is involved in my life. Every once in a while, it's important to visit level 5 and 6 because we understand life on a deeper level. But again, as Ramban says, looking back on Yetzias Mitzrayim and seeing from those miracles that everything in creation was created and kept in existence, that's the fundamental. Without that, you have no chelik in Torah's Moshe, knowing that Hashem is intimately involved in everything in my life. That's the basics of our Emunah system. And now, I'd like to open the floor to questions. And please feel free to raise your hand if you have questions. Or you can type in. If you're shy, you can type in. We also have some questions that people did type in before. But I do see one hand up, one brave person. Avram, you have the floor.
Shalom
Aleichem. Hi.
Interesting question.
Yeah.
Nisan Mitzrayim, it seems to be the Nisan Mitzrayim world is a little different than the rest of Emunah B'Tachin. Because I can look at the world now and see how it's orchestrated now and how it can only come to existence for God's purpose. And okay. I can see what's going on. Whereas my Mitzrayim, the only way of knowing that it happened was believing the Torah and believing how it was passed down from generation to generation that it happened.
Right.
As a physical being now, didn't see it. Maybe my Shema did a long time ago, but not as my physicality as of now.
Okay.
So there's a little difference between believing that those Nisan happened versus seeing the Nisan that happened around me now.
So it depends what you're asking. If you're asking, do I have to be dumb, blind, and stupid my whole life, or can I open my eyes and understand things? If we want to get into a discussion whether the Torah is true or not, we could have such a discussion. But assuming that the Masorah is, I have a Torah that reveals to me exactly what Hashem said, exactly what happens, and now I can open my eyes and understand things. I don't have to go about blind. Meaning, if there's a science textbook that explains to me how physics work or how atoms split, I don't have to close the book and say, I can open the book and understand things on a deeper level. Now, is it true that I've never seen an atom? Yes, it's true. Is it true that I'll never see an atom? Yes, it's also true. But that doesn't mean I can't understand it. If I have a Masorah that 3 million people were in Har Sinai and they heard Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Lekecha, and they told their parents, or told their children, told their children, told their children, all the way down till me, that's what I accept as Emes, and I have a Torah that reveals to me what happened. So I guess you're right. We didn't live through it. By the way, reading about it in a book is never the same as being there. There's no question about that. Because being there, you experience it. Reading it, you read a book. I read a book. It's a terrible story. I cry. And that's not the same as living through that traumatic experience. So I agree with you. It's not the same chizik in Emunah, but it's certainly in terms of understanding it, reading it and understanding it, it certainly is. Did I answer that question or did I just talk around it?
I'm not 100% sure. I wasn't asking on the truth of it, the validity of it. That I'm not asking on. But the same thing as, let's say, the Holocaust. Meaning, I can believe also the Holocaust happened as much as I believe Jesus Christ trying to happen. I can believe it.
Right.
It's a different belief system as opposed to it's believing that I know this is saying the truth, but not actually seeing it versus something that I could see.
Right. No, yeah, I agree. No question about it. No question about it. People sometimes ask this question. I remember the Jewish press once, and they asked to answer this question to various writers. If you could go back to one moment in time, what would it be? And unequivocally, my answer was Matan Torah. If I could be there and experience Hashem saying, Anochi Hashem Lekecha, seeing the Har, seeing, experience it, have a level of Nevuah, that moment was the most incredible moment. I didn't experience it. Now, I read the words Anochi Hashem Lekecha, but I didn't experience it. So you're right. There's no question that had we been in Mitzrayim ourselves, we would have experienced it, or felt it much more, and it would have been much more palpable, much more real. Unfortunately, we weren't there. And we try to experience it, we try to relive it. The reality is we'll get it 10%, 20%, 15%, and we work on it and think about it. But you're right, it's distant, it's far, and for that reason, when I daven Shemoneh Esrei, I space out. And when I bench, I could be in the middle of benching and saying, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, Hazan Etz Olam Kulo, and I'll start thinking about something else. Hashem's right there, and you thank Hashem for your meal. Without Hashem, you wouldn't have this meal, right? You're not. So how do you space out? You're right, because I didn't live through Yetzias Mitzrayim. I try, I work on it, but I guess I'm in agreement with you. But again, we're supposed to dwell, we're supposed to think about it so we can tap into it on some level. All right?
Thank you.
Okay. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Please feel free to type in your questions or raise your hand. Either way, please feel free. Edward, I'm afraid to take this question because I don't talk politics and it's all over. All right, Edward, you got the floor, but we're not talking politics. Remember, I think you're allowed to talk. I think you are.
Okay.
So I'm listening.
You're controversial because
nope.
Last time you talk politics and you talk politics for half an hour.
I did tshuva. I had a whole week to do tshuva, no politics.
I understand, but you and after your speech, like for 20 minutes, you had the speech, and I heard my name, Rosen Zadik. You have not prepared because you said no politics. So is it politics or no politics?
No politics. No politics.
Okay, but I'll ask you a political question. Happily, number one point. I was very ashamed that I was doing nothing, and you asked me which schmooze I'm up to. So I was on 70. This week I'm up to 75.
Excellent. Okay.
I have to give you some credit. I mean, because of one schmooze you are asking, I would like to know, you would like to know how schmooze affect people's life. Mm-hmm. And, I can talk only about myself. For me, it's like tremendous. Maybe for people, it's like just different stories. But I understand how difficult to compile all these stories with Torah and animals and the Edison and scientists. And it's like unbelievable. I mean, I finished mm-hmm. two universities. Every time I need to do some papers, I spend like 2 days probably for 5 pages. So I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
For this, A plus.
Now we stop here. Now, Edward, I think we stop here, right? I say thank you, we hang up, and we're done, right? No? No?
No.
No.
Because another schmooze was about Alan Dershowitz.
Yes.
When he about religion, if you remember the schmooze.
I do.
He gave Harvard students evaluate how religion affect their life, transform to half a Hashem, evaluate yourself.
God rates a B minus, right? God rates a B minus.
Yes, but you gave to greatest lawyer Alan Dershowitz for his question grade D for being dumb because he gave him dumb question. So last speech I grade you, I mean for schmooze I give you A plus, but last speech I give D.
Oh, all right, fine. But we don't talk politics, so good. Good.
No. But question. Here's the question. So, Hashem wants, number one, full disclosure, I don't like Democrats, I don't like Republicans.
Good. Both I hate all people equally. Good. Okay. Good.
terrible. Both by fact. But my question is, since you vote for our president and you want him in house, but Hashem obviously want him out with the lowest rating in presidential history. He is out. So does it mean you go against will of Hashem?
Okay, that's a fair question. Good, Edward, that's a fair question. So listen, what happens when a Russia takes, I'm not making a parallel here, but what happens when a Russia takes control of a country? Again, not a parallel to our country, but imagine Hitler. Does it mean Hashem, Hashem orchestrated that, and that shmooze number 33, that where was God during the Holocaust? The reason why Hashem runs the world the way Hashem does has a lot to do with why Hashem created us and what we're doing here. But just because a wicked person comes to power doesn't mean Hashem, doesn't mean that the Torah wants it, doesn't mean it's right. Hashem obviously wants it for whatever which reason, and maybe to kill Jews, maybe to expel Jews, which long term in the future we'll understand is for our benefit, but that doesn't mean I should agree with it. So, in other words, you can't bring a proof one way or the other from, if someone wins a political, victory or not, whether that means Hashem is, they're on the right side or the wrong side. Whatever its reason, Hashem, until Mashiach comes, there's going to be evil in the world, and there's going to be mistruths, and there's going to be things that don't go the way they're supposed to. So you can't bring any proof. So I don't know one way or the other. First of all, this is an apolitical situation, so I can't even judge it. But one thing for sure, you can't bring a proof any way, because again, there are many times that Hashem will allow different forces to win for whatever reason. Maybe 2 years down the line we'll understand, 4 years down the line, maybe we'll never understand it. But again, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's right or good or that I should have, voted one way or the other. All right? Okay. All right. Good talking to you. Nice. Okay. Atzlacha. Let me hear when you get up to 80. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Every chance. Thank you. Okay. Please feel free to raise your hand. Leah, you have the floor. Go ahead. I think you do. Yes, you do.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi.
Hi. So let's say a person has a big exam, for example, like a board exam, and they don't put in all the effort that they could have to pass the exam, and they don't pass. And this happens a couple of times. So is it fair to feel frustrated that this person didn't put all their effort in, or and things could have been different if they would have, or say this is what Hashem wants for us right now?
Okay, this sounds like a loaded question. I suspect there's some personal background here. So should I answer the question in theory or... Well, yeah, I'll answer it in theory as if this wasn't a personal and loaded question. So the answer is like this. Let's assume for a minute, let's go back to Amazon. Let's assume I have $2,000 and I don't do my homework. I'm not prudent. I just say, hey, you know, I'm throwing $2,000 in any stock, whatever it may be. In that situation, I did a terrible ishtadlis. I did a bad ishtadlis. And if it turns out badly, don't go blaming God for your mistakes. Meaning, here, I'll make it even simpler. Let's say I love to eat. I love to eat. I weigh 350 pounds. I smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. I don't know what a gym looks like. And at 35, I have a heart attack. Hashem, why me? A young person, Hashem, why me? Why you? Why you? Look what you're doing. You're a walking heart attack. Don't go blaming God for your mistakes. Meaning, Hashem wants us to use the world in the ways of the world. To earn a living, you get a job. And you want to pass the board, you study. If you're going to be reckless and irresponsible with your money, don't go blaming God. If you're not going to study appropriately, again, don't... Oh, Hashem didn't want me to pass. Now, if you studied fully and you put in your best effort and for whatever reason, you know, something... Okay, you know, that's different. So you try again. By the way, I know a fellow who took not the MCATs, for dental. What are the boards to get into dental school? Do you know what they're called?
The DATs?
Yeah, say it again, please. The what?
The DAT.
The DAT. Yes. So anyway, 11 times. He studied and he failed it 11 times. And he called me up all depressed. I said, okay, get back to work. You know the material. He did phenomenally well on every practice exam. And whatever its reason, during the exam itself, he got flustered. I said, you go back and try again, study again. After the 12th time, he passed. And he's now a dentist, Baruch Hashem, and he's doing very well. But you see, he put in a real ishtadlis. And he really mastered the material. In that case, he got flustered. So you go back and try again, And all the time, that's what you have to. And again, if you did your right ishtadlis, and after many, many tries, let's say if it's a 12th time, 13th, it doesn't go, at a certain point you say, obviously Hashem doesn't want it to be. But if you didn't put in your best effort, you didn't really prepare, don't go blaming God. You didn't do your job. Hashem wants us to use the world in the ways of the world. So again, because this is only a theoretical question, and not something personal, I'm happy to answer it that way. But otherwise, if it's more personal, please reach out to me at rebbe@theshmooze.com, rebbe@theshmooze.com, and we could talk further. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, my pleasure. Okay, that's lacha. Okay, please feel free to raise your hand. Before we run out of time, I do want to mention the Shmooze Sweepstakes is now on. This is one of the big fundraisers that we run. You have a chance to win $100,000. That's the grand prize. But even better, there are many Shmooze gifts that are really, really excellent. One I have to tell you I'm very, very happy about. I have finally finished. After many years, I have finally finished the 10 really dumb mistakes that very smart couples make. I've been writing this book. I'm embarrassed to say how long I've been writing this book, but I finished the last chapter. It's two-thirds way edited. It's almost done. The pre-publication copies are going to be available. I sent it to typeset, meaning it's clean enough that I feel it can be put out as a pre-publication copy. And tomorrow I'm going to get back the typeset copies. So if you would like a pre-publication copy of the 10 really dumb mistakes that very smart couples make, it's one of the gifts in the Shmooze fundraiser. It's not available in bookstores. It will not be out. It will not be published for a good while. I'm in discussions with Art Scroll. I spoke to them today. Usually I publish with Feldheim. This book, I think, might do better with Art Scroll, back and forth. Bottom line is, it will not be actually published for months. But the pre-publication copy will be available in probably another week. So if you would like a pre-publication copy, please go to theshmooze.com And if you participate in the sweepstakes, you get the opportunity to help the Shmooze grow. And in addition to which, you can get many gifts, one of which is that pre-publication copy. And there's also Apple Watches, Apple AirPod Pros. There's also the Shmooze, there's a USB with the Musarvad, which is 30 Shurim on the first four Parakim of Mesillas Shearim. I recorded that a while back, and that's on a USB. That's one of the gifts. There's also the Marriage Transformation Seminar. Please go to the shmooze.com and you can see the various gifts. Again, one of the opportunities is to win $100,000, which might be good for some people. If you didn't invest in Amazon back then, maybe you could still win now. But more importantly, you get a chance to support the Shmooze and get a chance to get the Shmooze gift. So please do that. Theshmuz.com, theshmooze.com. Please go there and please participate, and you can have an opportunity to join. If anyone has any last questions, I will take a last question only by raise of hand. If not, we're going to sign off. We do have some questions that people typed in, but I'm going to really opt to end at this point. So I thank you all for joining. Again, please go to theshmooze.com, theshmuz.com. You can participate in the fundraiser. You can get the great gifts as well as the opportunity to win $100,000. I thank you. Good Shabbos. See you next week. Mr. Shem.